listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Now that she goes again, the dopest Ethiopian, and now the world around me begins moving in slow motion whenever she happens to walk by. Why does the apple of my eye overlook and disregard my feelings no matter how much I try? Wait, no, I did not really pursue my little princess with persistence, and I was so low-key that she was unaware of my existence. From a distance, I desired her, secretly admired her, wired her a letter to get her. It went, my dear, you do not know me, but I know you very well, and let me tell you about the feelings I'm having for you when I try or make some sort of attempt. I simp. Damn, I wish I wasn't such a wimp. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on Saturday for feedback. That's right, guys, it's feedback time. So you guys can tell us about us, what you thought about the things that we said, how you feel about, you know, the topics we covered, five-star reviews you left, and how you feel about the show in general. Polls that you voted in, and how you feel about the votes that you put in the polls.
Yep.
Emails, all kinds of stuff. We're gonna get to it all, guys. That's right. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, The Black Guy Who Tips. Just search for that on podcast places. Leave us 5-star reviews. It's that simple. We'll read them on the air if we like them. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And shout out to all the people who, there's been people signing up for premium more this week. I don't know. I can't say specifically what it was, if it was any one thing, but, I do want to give a shout out to, again, to that hashtag support black podcasts. I feel like a lot of people, you know, maybe they had to wait till payday or something, but a lot of people signed up, and I feel like that's a big reason because of it. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. Y'all help keep this boat afloat.
Right. Speaking of money, though, we gotta make sure that we shout out the people that gave us money, whether they donated it to the church or not. Let me play that special music.
What? This is a different choir. No, I think you invited the wrong choir. No, you invited the wrong choir. Excuse me, choir. Choir. Y'all got to stop singing. Y'all came to the wrong church today. Just no.
What?
No, this ain't our choir. Where's our choir?
That wasn't them?
No, that was not our choir.
What? Don't they normally dress in khakis with Chuck Taylors and some checkered shirts?
No, they don't.
Okay,
they wear robes. What are we talking about here?
My bad, fellas. Take off the shades and the hats and the Jerry curls.
You know that ain't our choir director. Come on.
Sorry, I thought it was a theme party. My bad.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment.
Today's a new day.
I don't know if the inner city youth is gonna be reached by this song, but we'll try anyway.
We gonna try.
Shout out to the people that donated. Rita May C, recurring donator. Thank you, Rita May. Connor K, recurring donation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Larry B, recurring donator. Thank you, Larry. Jason J, recurring donator. Thank you, Jason. Candace H, Jordan B, and Justin J are all recurring donators. Early days of photography. If your kids need to get some of those pictures in their uniforms for sports, go to Early Days of Photography, y'all. Marvin B, yes. Marvin B, recurring donator.
Yes.
Nicole, return donator. Thank you, Nicole. A Woodsy, aka Wood, recurring donator. Thank you, Wood. Mr. Span. We were on the spam report 2 weeks ago. Recurring donator. Andy S, recurring donator. Andy might be new, I can't remember. Stefan H, recurring donator.
I think he is.
Janine R, recurring donator.
That's new. I don't remember that name.
I don't remember that. That's a unique name. I love it. Mary H, recurring donation. John B. Now I remember him because he had a lot of good albums in the 90s.
Me too.
That song with Tupac was dope, man. I hope good luck on the comeback.
Don't listen to what people say.
Yeah, keep singing those songs.
Right.
Nick R, recurring donator. Thank you.
That's new.
Waste Bees by Sura.
That's new too.
Attitude check.
Bronco Pride.
Eric M, recurring donator. Thank you, Eric. Latonya B, recurring donator. Michael the Playmaker Irvin, and that's it. That's everybody. That was a lot of people this week. Man, a lot of feedback. A lot of money. All the way to that jet. You know, the other day I was standing outside in my basketball sneakers getting ready to go play. And I heard a voice that said, "What are those?" And I said, who's that? Did you say, are you talking to me? He said, "Yes. What are those?" And I said, "Are you talking about my shoes?" And he said, "Is that the best you can do?" I said, "I'd never spend more than $50 on basketball shoes." And he said, "So you trying to say that that's all I can do is get you $50 basketball shoes?" And I said, "Are you trying to tell me something?" I started listening, you know, because I was like, when somebody's talking to you like this, you have to listen. And I realized that it was God. And he was telling me that I need to buy some Jordans. So all this money this week, I'm spending on new J's.
You go ahead and do that.
We riding in style, people.
Yeah, and I want to apologize to
podcasting in these boats. I need some J's on my feet for the podcasting. I can't be like these normal people at the basketball court.
Nah, we can't be like that. And I want to apologize to the Tabernacle Youth God Faith Apostolic Church that gave us that opening rendition. I do apologize about that. I know that was y'all youth choir.
That's our youth ministry trying to do outreach to the public, and you shut them down.
And I apologize about that. That's me and me just being very traditional. You know, I like things to go you know, according to how they schedule. So I would like to say I do apologize. I didn't recognize none of you because, you know, the church is growing so big. I don't, you know, it's hard for co-pastor to keep a track of everybody. I'm old. Mm. So I apologize about that.
All right, Kurt, play me out. You look better. Oh, yeah, look. You look so much better when you New Orleans. You look so much better when you Cleveland. You look so much better when you Detroit. You look so much better. Let's go ahead and talk about the people of the 5-star reviews.
Okay.
I love 5-star reviews. That's my favorite type of reviews. 5-star reviews in my top 5 reviews, guys.
I know, okay. It's so.
So we got some new 5-star reviews. We actually got a bunch of them. Woo-hoo! Today. Addictive, and this is by Killer Carlos 93. I listen to podcasts mainly for geeky things, movies, comics, etc. I found your show accidentally by searching for podcasts talking about Black Dynamite. Ha!
We love some Black Dynamite.
Yeah,
Black Dynamite.
They must have just put Black so in, and we came up. But I remember that episode. We went through all the music from Black Dynamite season 2.
Yes. That Fonte made. Yeah. Oh, I missed that show. Rest in peace. I missed that show. I wish somebody picked that show up.
Man, I'm so glad I found you guys. Wait, that show's over. It didn't get canceled, did it?
Black Dynamite. Yeah.
All right. I think you need to fact check that one. I don't know about that.
Black Dynamite the cartoon.
Yeah, I don't think it got canceled. I just think the season ended, right?
No. They canceled it. It's not coming back.
Damn. Well, that's some bad news.
Mm-hmm. I specifically remember that one. Yeah. I mean, you can go check to confirm, but I've seen stuff saying that they weren't going to have another season.
Oh, okay. Man, I'm so glad I found you guys. I work in a factory where the conversations consist of hunting and fishing. Damn.
Oh, poor thing.
So I pop the earbuds in and I'm transported to a world that I can relate to and most of the time agree with. Keep the episodes coming. I really enjoy them and appreciate the hard work that you put into them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Killer Carlos. RJB10 says 5-star podcast, 5 stars. The host liked to play the song 5-star Chick to introduce one of their popular segments. This is easily a 5-star podcast. Ryder can't keep me laughing on a daily basis while delivering the news with a side of ratchetness thrown in. They seem to be vying for the title of hardest working podcasters on the internet, regularly delivering an abundance of high quality content. Glad to contribute to this couple's well-deserved shine. Thanks.
Thank you, sweetie.
Appreciate you, RJB10.
Mm-hmm.
Ignacio, a procrastinator, dear brother. of procrastinating dear brother. 5 stars. Saiyajin. Saiyajin is who left this review, and it says, I've been listening to the show for about 3 years now, and I know that Karen is giving me that Chadwick Boseman side eye for taking this long to leave a review.
You left it, so it's on time, baby.
Bottom line, this couple will make you laugh hard and think harder, and they bring to light many things I'm not privy to since I no longer live in the U.S., living in Thailand. Rod and Karen are my main source for news and happenings back home, and hearing them give me everything in our black perspective is something I miss dearly over here. I will leave an email for the show, which will be longer. I'm long-winded, sorry, because I have so many other great things about this couple in that show. Thank you both so much for your hard work, and I appreciate my premium subscription so I can listen to you nonstop. Peace.
Woohoo! Thank you, baby. It's a lot of them out there.
And we appreciate your premium listening too, man. Appreciate mm-hmm. you. My favorite podcast by Am Love. 5 stars. I love this podcast. TBGWT has got me through long days at work, a ridiculous commute, and 2 root canals. Ooh, 2.
Oh, baby.
I try to put my friends and family onto this show every chance I get. I'm convinced that listening will make them better people. I truly believe that everyone should listen to these guys at least once. Trust me, you will be a better person afterwards. Because you can only sit by the church doors and sneak out early for so long. 5 stars.
Leave it for benediction.
Mr. Bizu, who says this 5-star review is long overdue. TBGWT was the beginning of my awakening and introduction to the world of podcasting. And it's been an amazing ride ever since. TBGWT is chock full of intelligent analysis, rare insight, and righteous ratchetry. Even though other podcasters have been doing it before them, Rod and Karen are still the OGs to me because I heard them first, LOL. My new favorite episode is Janet versus Jada because it showed me that I am not alone in my love and respect for receipts. Sending blessings and good fortune from Beijing, China. Fun fact, it's the year of the monkey and I'm anticipating some awkward conversations at work. Oh, man. Yeah, that would be. Wow. Oh, and don't worry, money is coming soon. Peace. I wasn't worried, but thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Oh, year of the monkey. I didn't even think about that being over there. I wonder if that's going to be a running joke.
I know.
Best.
Are you a monkey?
I know.
Like, come on, dog.
You know what year it is? What year you going? Not 2016. Mm. Keep going. best ever. J. Marshall B. says, I've been listening for 2 years ever since Rod called in the Levitar show when Bomani was hosting solo. Wow.
Yeah, that's been a while.
Yeah, that was a milestone, man. Me and Bo was laughing like niggas that snuck into the Super Bowl. It was like,
we don't belong here, but we don't care.
We did it. First episode I heard, y'all were discussing how E-40 is a bad rapper. I was hooked instantly. Nick Jew's not gonna like that. Living in Portland for the last 3 years, I can confirm soul ratchetness is out of control. I'm also a black atheist. It is good to hear there are other left-handed black atheists out there and down for the cause against righty. Mm-hmm. Y'all are the best. And keep my Twitter timeline entertaining. Keep up the good work. We will.
Thank you.
Thanks,
sweetie.
J. Marcel B.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to left-handed black atheists, man. Both of us. Thank you. Makers_C78, 5-star says, I started listening this summer to the Fear the Walking Dead reviews and got hooked. You guys keep me rolling on the afternoons I get at work when I get sleepy. Thank you for all you do and the introductions to some other great podcasts. Also, Karen's laugh is everything. Keep up the great work. Loves and mwah.
Thank you.
5-star podcast by Lock and Lose It. Oh, I think I've seen her on Twitter or maybe Facebook. This podcast is great. Hours of content available each week. I learned of TBGWT through my brother who listened to the Evening Jones. Oh, yeah.
Aww.
Evening Jones. The first episode I listened to was over 3 hours long. I didn't believe a podcast could keep my attention that long, but boy, was I wrong. Now I'm sad when episodes are less than 2 hours. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the club.
You ain't the only one.
The premium shows are hilarious. Justin and I share the same anti-patriots agenda. Yep. Y'all been right, I want to say 5 times this year. Good. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Love the podcast. Make my daily commute and airport travels very enjoyable. P.S. Karen, sorry it took so long. P.S.S. Duplicate review posted on Stitcher. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sweetie.
Fresh air, 5 stars, new listening, enjoying every minute from Flight 93. Thank you.
Be safe up there in the air.
yeah, Flight 93. Good stuff. DMCD3 says 5 stars. I often find myself trying to interject into the dialogue with my opinion and facts. Means I like it. I almost consider y'all as friends. No stalker. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Thanks, DMCD3. Yeah, Karen does that when she listens to podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Glad you be listening. I'd be talking out loud. Especially in the car.
Then I have to stop the podcast like, what? What are you talking about? And then she's like, oh, I was talking to the podcast. I'm like, they can't hear you.
Yeah, that, I don't even care.
@Faloose_Brown says 5 stars, good to the last drop. A five star review for a five star episode. Episode 1125 was just as good as always, but the last 7 minutes where you are off on a tangent about Kanye and booty holes, Auntie Karen's ad libs and laughter in the background was too much. I laughed for 15 minutes. I had to keep replaying because I kept missing your points and jokes. Keep up the good work. Love you guys. Yeah, a lot of people like that. We had to go back in to the booth and finish on a, I was gonna say high note. I don't know if that's the best way to describe what we did, but
it was a note.
We finished on a note for sure. Then we got some 5-star reviews of Stitcher. The Gourmet Goober says, one of my favorite podcasts. 5 stars. Ryan and Karen are always on point in this thought-provoking and hilarious podcast. They do a great job of discussing issues ranging from politics to pop culture in a way that doesn't insult your intelligence. Plus, Karen's laugh is contagious. Definitely recommend that you give it a try.
Thank you.
Lock and Lose It left that, that other review. Left another one. And Doc Ock, 5 stars, says, I'm a fan. If you pay attention and take a second to think about it, they write, and they made you smile while you figured it out. Karen, we good?
We good, dog. We good.
That's awesome.
Yes, and thank you for everybody that leave your reviews. But I know them ain't the only ones I wanted to leave a review. I know some more y'all out there. Please continue to leave us a 5-star review on Stitcher and iTunes. Leave us a review on both. You left one on Stitcher, leave one on iTunes. You left one on iTunes, leave one on Stitcher. And I look forward to the reviews for next week. And we thank you guys for continuing to show us love. And we only read the reviews if they're 5 stars and we approve of them. If you leave 5 stars and we don't like them, we still don't read them.
Yeah, it helps the show out tremendously, man. It helps us move up the charts on iTunes.
More than you ever know.
You know, when you see those, oh, these guys are movers and shakers and stuff like that, that's because people left, you know, reviews and stuff in addition to, you know, listening, keeps those stats as well. So when you do that stuff, it's not just throwing it out there for nothing. It helps us out. And, you know, the people that leave the negative reviews, like I said, they are on the time. You know, I've been guilty of this too, where it's like something, I don't say anything. It's like, oh, I don't want it to change. I don't want it to go anywhere. I just like it. But sometimes you have to get out there and leave that review. No, hey, I like this, and I, you know, and let other people know I like it, and that'll keep doing well. Keep letting people know to keep doing what they're doing. All right. We have the website, theblackouttips.com, and we did some episodes, and you guys left feedback. Got a lot of feedback this week, man. People are leaving comments.
Had a lot to say.
The first episode was a feedback show, so no, we don't get any comments on these. It was 1121, Catching the Gay. And the poll was simple. It was, has God or Satan ever talked to you out loud? Because, you know, they've been talking to me lately, you know, every week. when it's time to get this money.
I tell you how to spend the church's money.
When it's time to get this money, they like to reach out, let me know how we should be getting and spending this money that we get from the congregation. And I appreciate them for that, which is, you know, which is why I continue to do what I do. But that was the poll. Yes, 17% of you guys have had God or Satan talk to you out. 83% of y'all have not, which is, you know, surprisingly high number. And we had comments. Sugar Bay says, laugh my ass off. I've seen 100% poll. Well, I guess it was 100 when you voted, but right. Not anymore. Some people came through and crushed the buildings. And Janica says, by Satan, I mean my ex.
Oh, shots fired. Shots fired in the building.
Oh, that was good. 1122, white women have it the hardest, where we talked about the Oscars fallout. sexual assault at Spelman, women being covered up, other ratchetness. Let's get to the comments on this. We got 5 comments. Brandon is B-more left this one. Oh, this is long. Maya B started off. She said, with sexual and physical violence against black women clouding my mind, with the newest case being about the beautiful woman who was shot in her chest in Pittsburgh for telling the man no, I can take it. As a young black woman, it's that black women have to live in a state of love your abuser / rapist would be murderer, because white supremacy can kill him any day.
Right.
With the Cosby apologists, hoteps, and just dumb niggas screaming about white supremacy killing the black man, no one informs them that white supremacy didn't inform you to rape the women that you swear up and down are queens and mothers of the human race. You can't scream white supremacy when men of Morehouse are raping the women of Spelman. Two powerful institutions in this country. I'm so sorry for rambling, but my heart just hurts and I wanted to get that out. I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Me too.
The other thing that's weird about it too is so many black men don't really want equality for black people. They just want access to patriarchy so they can do the things that white men do.
Come on now.
And get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not be called out. You know, like, they just want the right to be an abuser. And you can tell because they scream all that queens, you know, black women are queen shit, but what they really are doing is this weird form of respectability politics where it's like, once you step out of what they've deemed queen-like behavior, then you're worthless and you can be raped, you can be killed, it doesn't matter, you're no longer the queen. It's just a way of keeping women in a box. Like, oh, queens act like this, everybody else is just bitches and hoes and sluts and thots. Yeah,
right.
But a queen, see, the queen would never do this. And it's just a way of trying to reinforce control onto women. Like, these are the behaviors that we will respect, and everything else is, you know, is basically go fuck yourself. Let's see what else we got here. Brandon is B-more says, oh, and we did, and I did hear about that case, a dude shooting a girl in Pittsburgh for saying no at a bar.
Oh.
We didn't have a chance to cover it this week, but I think I have it saved. But, you know, once again, that street harassment shit is real. It's dangerous.
That's going to be so fragile.
Yeah, we talked about it ad nauseum on here. But, you know, people, and summer's coming back, spring's coming back, so it's going to pop up again. But, you know, the street harassment that starts and pretty much never stops, but it gets worse and stuff. But the street harassment that women experience is dangerous for real,
and it's real.
And too many men just think it's simply she's stuck up, she don't want me to say hi, she can't be friendly, you can't smile.
It's like, dog, you might be the 50th dude to try to holler at her today.
Not to mention, some of these niggas are dangerous.
Yes, they are.
And there's no way to tell the dangerous motherfuckers from people like you.
Correct.
And especially when people online will still make excuses for the dangerous shit. Like, well, if she would have smiled, maybe he wouldn't have killed her. Why she had to say no? She couldn't have just took his number? You know, like, it's that kind
of
shit.
Right, like, she doesn't have options or choices and rights over her body, and just your presence, she ought to just be able to suck your dick and do whatever you want her to do because you want this particular woman.
Yeah, you happen to smile at her, so right. Now she owe you a conversation. Brandon is B-more says, in regards to the Oscar so white conversation, Stacey Dash and others' opinions that if you're the best, you should be nominated is obvious, but also stupid. In theory, yes, the people who give the best performances should be nominated based on that and not their race, nationality, or any other factor like that. In fact, I personally would not care if there are categories that don't have minority representation if I could trust that the people making these decisions did not have inherent bias against minorities. It is possible that there could be a year where no black person or predominantly black movie is Oscar worthy, but I would never trust those choices to believe that when I know the people making those choices are, for the most part, old white men. If the Academy makeup was just, for example, 40% white, 20% black, 30% Latino, and 10% other, or any other breakdown of different races, that is more even than I would be much more likely to trust their votes and say maybe the choices they made were right. But as long as the Academy has that makeup, no minority could trust their decisions of being fair or correct. It's not to just do the right thing. The Academy should change their voters strictly for the reputation of their award. Even if these white people aren't racist, the fact that they are all older and white, they cannot relate to or understand films that don't fit into their wheelhouse. Just like I may not be able to relate to a film about a family in a white picket fence neighborhood from the 50s, they might not be able to relate to a film of young black men from Compton becoming rappers. The difference is, I know that I would not come out and say that the actors of the suburban white film just weren't good enough, because I didn't understand. I would either get informed or ask for other opinions for their help, to help me judge if the correct way, or in case of the Academy, have enough people on the board that would understand it to make up for me not. I don't expect every voter to relate to and understand every film, especially if it's outside your culture, but I do expect you to make an effort to have a more diverse set of voters who could. Hiroja Shab says, Rob, my main man, I cannot believe you knew about my boo, my future baby daddy, Black Joe Lewis. I've been caping for this man since 2005 when he had a little EP, Bitch I Love You was on it, coming out of Austin before being picked up by Lost Highway Records in 2007. A couple years back, I was able to see him in concert at one of those very granola festivals. He and the Honey Bears has always blew the roof off, man. It was just so amusing seeing all these very white people trying to keep up and just failing. Brianna says, yeah, Black Joe Lewis, man, I just found him randomly, and I enjoy that group.
I'd have to be partying.
Brianna says, can celebrities just talk through their publicists from now? I promise it's not that difficult.
Right. Come on, right. Right. This is what you pay them for.
EVE says, I think the bigger picture about these Oscars is how it opens up opportunities for other actors, directors, and producers of color. Diversity is important because entertainment mirrors life. So many white people in this country have never seen a person of color besides what they see on television. I went to college with people who had never seen a black person until they left their raggedy ass little towns. So that's why representation on television and movies is important. We need to see other stories told besides slave narratives and minority sidekicks. How we're viewed in the media is how people view us in real lives, and oftentimes that can be deadly for people of color. By the way, I feel 100% fucked with when Matt Damon opened his damn mouth on this subject. I don't give a damn what he said in favor of diversity. Fuck him. He will forever be on my permanent fuck you list. Now he's claiming his comments on that program were misrepresented. It was his damn show. How was they misrepresented? This is one time he should have sat his ass down and just shut up. Yeah, I can second that emotion on both of those. The poll for the episode was, who has some women, some black people, wait, hold on. Who is women, black people, or some people, some black people are women, fool? Those are the questions. Are who has the hardest? Women, black people, and some black people are women, fool. 0% of people said women have it the hardest. Wow, I'm shocked. 21% of people said black people have it the hardest. And then 79% of people said some black people are women, fool.
Right.
And I'm on the 79%. That's what I think. I don't know what y'all were thinking that just voted black people. That, you know.
We're all inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Anime Sparkster said, people get mad when the mainstream feminism is referred to as white feminism. People of color don't have to separate ourselves. They do it themselves.
Yes, they do, with their actions and their words.
Yeah, that's what's funny. People be like, well, don't separate yourself and go start your own award shows. But they're not giving us awards at this one. Right. So it's already separate.
Right. You don't include us. You want us just to come and watch y'all praise yourselves? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Episode 23, Andrea and Emily and their podcast, Assembly. We had the ladies on from the Hot Mess Comedy Hour podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about a bunch of stuff. Oscar So White, how they came up with their podcast. James Dean, cat porn, all kinds. You know, how much money people make on the porn sets. R. Miller 728 says, hey Karen and Rod, it's me, the official grandma of the show. Since there is not a none of the above option for the poll, I was forced to pick the lesser of all the evils. Sound tech, guess the race was extra racist and extra funny at the same damn time today. Loved every minute of it.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thanks, R. Miller. And here's the poll. What job on a porn set would you rather have?
Okay.
You can have sound technician, camera person, person having sex, you know, porn star, fluffer, writer, or makeup artist. They all pay different amounts of money. Probably should put the amounts of money next to them, but I forgot. Anyway, the number one result was writer. 33% of y'all would rather make the $250 from writing than the up to $1,700 to $3,000 for having sex. 29% of you guys would like to be the sound technician. Not bad. Hold that boom mic over by the balls.
Mm-hmm.
16% said the person having sex, you like to be the porn star. 13% of y'all would rather be the camera person. Now, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. I just hope y'all on the good set where the balls aren't swinging in your face.
Me too.
9% said makeup artist. I'm surprised this number was so low, but I guess you do have to do all the touching a porn star without none of the benefits. And 0% fluffer. 0% of y'all want to fluff. That's so sad. None of you are givers.
I guess fluff it yourself.
Sugar Bay says, I almost went with writer, but the scripts and dialogues are always the same formulaic shit. I get bored after a while. Think I could do more with sound, and I'm not talking about the vocal sounds. Hey, smiley face.
Maybe refresh.
Oh, I froze.
No, they say your sound is skipping.
Oh, shit. All right. Give me a second, guys. Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Let's see. Get back in there in a second. Y'all keep hearing like a little popping sound with in my headphones. Are you hearing it too or no?
I don't hear it right now.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I heard. It's not like, it's like every minute or so. All right, let me go back in. See if this fixed it. All right, guys, let us know if that fixed the audio. Sorry about that. Yeah, what was I saying? Oh yeah. So Sugar Babe says, and I'm not talking about the vocal sounds, so I'm smiley face, so I'm assuming that means she's talking about the sounds of sex.
Yeah.
The sex slapping sounds. Apart from visuals, I think sound really elevates porn. Okay, let me get back to reading the Holy Bible. Well, you gonna read that Corinthians too? EVE says, I'd love to be a writer for a porno. One idea that comes to mind, to get Kanye West and Amber Rose looking like a title with fingers in the booty. It would be an instant hood classic. Ah! I think it win an AVN for it. That's smart. I like the way you think.
Capitalize something. Believe you me, somebody gonna be doing it.
You gotta capitalize on the pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very unique way to look at it. We got episode 1124, Guitar Strings Turn to Twitter Things, where we were B.O.B. versus Neil deGrasse Tyson. And the rap beef that ensued between a rapper and an astrophysicist.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Neil won this one. I think he won.
The podcast. So we had some comments on the podcast. Mae Sparks just says, Steve Harvey's new book, Mouth Off Like a Lady, Get Beat by Like a Man. Because we also talked about Cal Norman, who was a singer for Jagged Edge, mm-hmm. who apparently beat his wife. And they went on Steve Harvey's show to explain why that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar Bay still prosecuting Nazi war criminals who are 90 plus years old and looking like old people do. Then Cosby gonna get this prosecution.
Ain't that the truth?
The fuck out of here with this shit about him being too old to face consequences of his actions. Right. Well, he can't see now. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that means the rapes are okay. Capadonna says, about Cal Norman, that interview was a little too heavy for Steve Harvey's goofy show. Rod, I would agree that the gut reaction is once a wife beater, always a wife beater. Like I've said in the past, my cousin died when her ex-husband shot her. But I also know times when people do decide to work out their issues, they're few and far between, but it's not impossible. Also, I'm personally really big on forgiveness, but that's just me. My bigger issue is that Norman and his wife went on Steve Harvey. I just have a problem with going on TV and looking for redemption from a cynical public. My question is the same as yours. Did you sit down with your pastor, a psychiatrist, or a clinical social worker? But to Karen's point, most dudes I've met talked about being abusive to their mates or cheating them in one way or another. They were in pain and trying to save in a destructive and self-destructive manners. Mm-hmm. Most men never learn to talk about their pain in any other way than with their fist, intoxication, or rising their voices.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's just, I don't know what you do. Because, like, at the end it comes out like he's trying to sell his, like, get his fans back. I just don't, it's just a very uncomfortable thing. I don't think there's any way that I would watch that, or most people would watch that and come away like, this was worth it. I feel like most people watched that interview and went, I guess, you know, like,
right, if you, I mean, if y'all say so,
yeah,
right.
Like, hopefully you're telling the truth, but right. How the fuck am I supposed to know?
Yeah, that's one of the things. Well, yeah, I hope you're telling the truth, because I don't want to see the story about you killed or some shit.
The poll for the show is, who won the battle, Neil deGrasse Tyson or B.O.B.? And talk about 100% poll. 100% of people think Neil deGrasse Tyson won the battle.
I do too, with the TI-85.
There were some comments. Cloud2K says, I appreciate the fact that Neil didn't even say anything new on the diss track. He just read his own tweets out loud. Perfection. Capadonna says, well, damn, Bobby got bodied by a science nigga. So since B.O.B. wants to debate Copernicus and Galileo, I wonder what he thinks about the internal combustion engine. Does Bobby think gasoline drinking gremlins run cars? Oh. Number two, like as he was typing that into an iPhone, right?
Right.
I'm just saying, says, why is America so anti-intellectualism? The fact that this dumb motherfucker thought it was okay for him to tweet this dumb shit, then get at an astrophysicist over the shape of the earth. Right. I blame all the anti-intellectual behavior of the past 8 years over climate change and the conspiracy theories. Man, America is in its twilight. Asians better come on.
Ah! Yeah, they done passed us.
B.O.B. says, oh, so y'all are part of the Masons too, huh? I hope you drive off the edge of the earth. Kyle says, can someone stick some fingers up B.O.B.'s ass so he can shut up and stop referencing Holocaust deniers? I know B.O.B. is a cornball, but man, dude believes in every conspiracy theory known to man. Yeah, that was the thing. That dude, when he said, go look up so-and-so. I forget the name of the person, but in his rap, he said, go look up so-and-so if you don't believe me. Apparently, that dude's a Holocaust denier. So, yep. B.O.B. Oh man, I wonder what they publicists be thinking when they read this shit. You know what I mean? Like, is it just some white person somewhere? Come on, man. Come on. Oh, God.
I couldn't imagine how many publicists he's been through, because I was like, fuck this shit.
I don't remember anything else he's ever said that was fucked up. It must have been a very easy job until a week ago.
Hey, I know they was like, B.O.B., why, what's happening here? I'm getting all kind of calls and, my Twitter. I mean, I really don't understand. Or they was like, oh, I know that son of a bitch was dumb, but I didn't ever think he was going to go out and say it.
My Google alerts keep blowing up. Right. With your name. What's going on, man? We had episode, 1125, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fingers, where we talked about a bunch of stuff, mostly Kanye and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We had 9 comments.
Woo! People had a lot to say, didn't they?
Oh, they wanted to talk about this one. It's KK Yo says, I agree with Rod on Oh, yeah, that's right, because I started off saying how I want to see some more movies.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was weird that black people are supposed to be slavery. We didn't kidnap and enslave a bunch of people. Ever since I got out of high school, I've been learning about black history, starting with Historical Blackness on Twib and the book Hair Story by Ayanna Byrd and Laurie L. Tharps. Currently, I'm reading Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl by Harriet Jacobs. I find black history fascinating. I think it's not something we should be ashamed of, because our ancestors were put through so much and still survive. That makes me proud. Me too. Exactly. We heroes. We superheroes. Fuck that. We shouldn't even be here. They still don't want us here.
That's true.
I'm not going to be ashamed. Fuck that. It also is interesting to see how things that happened in the past still have an effect in the present day. I used to crave black history in school. It was the only section of history besides Native American history that I found interesting. Me too. Honestly, the way history was taught, I didn't realize Native Americans and black people were two different groups until middle school. Mm-hmm. Right. It's the way it's taught.
Yeah,
because
it's all taught bundled.
Yeah, and it's just the way it's taught is part of the problem. It's just not, because it's mostly taught through the lens of whiteness, is taught with such shame that it's handed down to you. It's taught with so much, they pull so many punches and try to make it nice when it's not nice.
No, it's not.
There's nothing nice about it. You know, the key to the story is the overcoming of it, and not the overcoming of it by just by black people either, but the overcoming of it by our country.
Right.
This is an amazing, hideous evil, but we as a country made it out, you know, and but the reason that it continues to persist to this day in different iterations is because so many people are afraid to face it.
True.
You know, it, like, our kids, and by proxy, these adults that surround us, are too fucking stupid to know that the prison industrial complex is a direct result of slavery and trying to monetize black bodies. They're too stupid to see the connections because they never learned it. Because there's too many people that are so ashamed of it and so afraid of feeling a little bit guilty about it that they don't even want to teach it. And when they do teach it, they have to teach this really nice, polite, smiling slave narrative way. And it's frustrating, you know, because people don't want to know the truth because the truth isn't nice.
No, it's not.
But we can never, we'll never advance as a society as long as people keep avoiding this shit. And I don't think it's black people's thing to fix. I'm just saying, because I'm speaking for myself, because a lot of people, you know, were like, well, Rod, I still don't want to see it. I'm not trying to convince you. This is my show and I'm just giving my opinion. I want to see him. I'm tired of being ashamed of some shit that's not my fault.
Correct.
It's not, I didn't do shit. You know, things were done to my people. What the fuck I'm supposed to feel bad about? So yeah, that, so I, you know, people have been kind of doing this weird, it's like arguing with me, but not, cause I'm like, I never said anything about you. Cause, well, I still can't watch them because, hey man, I didn't say you could, you need to. Keep in mind, at no point did I advocate all y'all need to go see it. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not, I'm also not one of these people that guilts people into doing shit. If you don't want to do it, so what? You know, there was a time where I feel like I used to feel that way. And I think it's handed down. That guilt is handed down to us. It's taught to us from people who feel guilty, who don't want to talk about it, who think a paragraph should be sufficient because they don't want to get into the brutality of what it is. Right. And a lot of these people grow up being stupid. A lot of these kids that get that lesson, you grow up being stupid. You repeat the lessons of the past because you have no fucking idea what happened to you.
Nope.
You have no idea what happened to your people. You know, when you see somebody like Ryan Clark saying that dumb shit about Cam Newton, you like, oh, he has no fucking idea what he's talking about. He has no, this moment as it exists is the result of many, many, many moments that have occurred before it. If you don't know those moments that occurred before it, then you're just out here trying to rationalize this tiny microscopic piece of something. You actually need to see the bigger picture. And in order to do that, you actually do need to know some history. You know, I'm not telling everybody to become scholars and shit, but just there's basic shit you could be like, oh yeah, if it wasn't for chattel slavery, we probably wouldn't be dependent on, like, we wouldn't be dependent on abusing people who are undocumented workers here to make our socks and process our food and clothes and shit. Mm-hmm. If we didn't start with slavery,
come on now, we you can't go no lower than free. And if it was up to you, whatever job you're doing, your job technically would make you work for free if legally they could.
America doesn't rise to power so quickly without the PEDs of slavery. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like there's so much historically you need to know, but we just accept it. It's American exceptionalism. We're just a better country. We just do shit better. Slavery sound better? Or does it sound like the biggest shortcut in the world? Like,
right? You know, you went years of not paying people.
Yeah, on the backs of actual human beings. So yeah, I do want to see these stories, and I don't like people like, well, you know, I'm just mad because these movies are the ones that get nominated for Oscars. That's cool, but that's a different, separate issue.
Yes, that is.
I'm not arguing with you. I agree with you. They should recognize we're more than just slaves. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, but I don't think they need to stop, no.
But I see no reason why people shouldn't keep making these movies. Right. These are our stories. And I'm proud of the stories. I'm proud of our people for surviving that. I mean, shit, they tell a fucking Bible story about Jewish people surviving like fucking the plagues and slavery and all this shit every year, man.
Yes, they do.
And they cast it with nothing but white folks. Like, come on, man. Anyway, it just always surprises me when other black people are tired of black history in general. Though now I realize most because black history is tied in such a watered down way. Can't wait to learn more. Yeah, yeah. We don't get the dynamic, heroic versions of our history.
We get the defeated part.
Yeah, Nat Turner is a crazy motherfucker. You know, John Brown, the white abolitionist, is just a crazy motherfucker. But those are the stories I wanted to know. You know, who knows how many other smaller revolts and other things that we'll never know about in this country because they just got erased out of textbooks. And
true,
if they ever were in there, and they black people made to feel so ashamed of our history, we don't know it. I mean, there's no section on when we do civil rights in high school. They never covered the Black Panthers.
Oh, they would never cover the Black Panthers.
You know, they never covered Black Wall Street and what happened there. They never covered you know, they just never covered so much. They just don't care. So I had to, you know, luckily I had some really cool parents.
Like, you gonna learn this history, boy.
Yeah, you know, they were interested in me learning more than what was in those books, but that shouldn't be the only way that gets taught, you know?
Right, because if your parents, basically the way it is, if your parents don't take the time to teach you outside of what school teaches you, you have a whole, that's why you have this whole generation of people saying dumb shit like we gonna drive off the corner of the ocean.
Right. Like I said, I understand where everybody's coming from.
Me too.
You know, and I know what they mean when they talk about the Oscars and stuff. You're tired of seeing the same slave movies. But the problem is, when it comes to like 12 Years a Slave, which is written and directed by black people, people will still use that reasoning to not see that movie. So it doesn't really matter to you. I think it's the slavery of it that you don't want to see.
Yeah,
I really do. Cause yeah, you know, at first I was thinking like, well, it's cause some of these movies are some bullshit and some of them are some bullshit, but I don't think that's it necessarily, man. Mm-hmm. I really do think it's just the idea of watching black people in bondage makes you feel some kind of negative, sad way. And it does make me feel sad. I'm not happy when I see a slave movie like, oh yes, slavery. Like, but it's important to know. And it's nothing to be ashamed about, you know? And if what was done was sad, but without that sadness, we don't have this triumph that is today. And, you know, and we don't have this, we can't see the connections and the lines from then to now that'll keep us moving forward and not settling. That's why a lot of motherfuckers think Black Lives Matter need to shut up and stop complaining and shit, because they think if you just ignore shit, it goes away. And it's just, historically, it's just so inaccurate. It could never be less true, you know, than it is today.
Right, because the only reason why black people became free, because people have said, I have enough, or else we would still be slaves. Somebody had to say, I have had enough.
Right. There's always been somebody saying to ignore the shit, but you can't. Juwan writes in, one of the many reasons I love this show is when some fuck shit happens, I think to myself, oh shit, can't wait till y'all cover this on the show. Y'all never disappoint. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sweetie.
You Ain't Got the Answer says, listen, this was one of the best episodes ever. You two are hilarious. I love the way you all bounce jokes off one another. You guys never disappoint with them jokes. On a more serious note, thanks for talking about the Nat Turner movie. I read The Confessions of Nat Turner in the fourth grade and became obsessed. I did my Black History Month project on Nat Turner that year and got suspended for talking about slavery during recess and having inappropriate conversations. They deemed my project and conversations inappropriate and said I was trying to start a race war and suspended me. All that did was turn me into a stan.
That makes sense, because I guarantee you he's now on that pre-approved list. Y'all think that pre-approved list is real. They was like, nope, you cannot waive off this list.
Yeah, why don't you do something on George Washington Carver like the other 17 black people?
Right, like, fuck that. Mm-hmm. I won't do the Black Panthers. Nope, you will not be covering that.
I would like to do it on Huey P. Newton. Why don't you do another one on George Washington Carver? That was good when he invented peanut butter.
Like, right, you like, fuck that. We're more than that.
Luckily I have Malcolm X kind of mother who wasn't going for the bullshit. I had a meeting with my principal as a child. I always wondered, there has to be at least someone who said nope, not today. And that's when my mother let me read the book. I know a lot of people are tired of slave movies, but if you can watch fictional ass Django written by a white man who loves to say nigga, then you can watch a true story about someone who wasn't here for the bullshit and wanted to start a revolution. Love y'all, thanks for always giving us what we need. Sorry I was too high. Oh, she had a typo, but don't worry, I got it. Hey, you know the other part that's wild to me too about that is the fictional Django thing is like a flight of fancy and escapism for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Because you know he can get away in the end, he can get the girl and all this shit, but it's also for a lot of people just like this voyeurism, you know? It's like, oh, it's I don't have to feel bad about this slave movie because right. Quentin Tarantino made it funny, you know. So it's also partially that, but yeah, I did my senior exit project on Malcolm X, so I, you know, it was the exit, so I guess they couldn't suspend my ass. But
right, and when you did it, this was years ago, is when they had first kind of started that stuff, so I think your class was like the kind of the test class for that. When my class, it kind of had more weight on it, so for a lot of them, they was like, yeah, just pass them on, we don't care, we won't be here next year.
Yeah, I definitely got that A though. They knew what was up, because I mean, I would have burned that school to the ground. Black rage, motherfuckers. Amani says, hey, Rod and Karen, I'm with Rod on needing more slavery movies, not less. I keep seeing the commercials for this Chris Pine on a boat movie, and they're calling it the greatest rescue in American history. Meanwhile, I'm sitting over here waiting on a Harriet Tubman movie. Mm-hmm. And like Rod mentioned, that's a prime role for a black woman to get, to be a spy and an activist on top of the Underground Railroad. If they can make a movie about Jennifer Lawrence inventing a mop, they can get a movie about Benjamin Bradley inventing the steam engine and working with the Navy on warships.
Come on now.
Nobody ever says we shouldn't have Holocaust movies because people just want to see Jews suffer. I can't blame someone if they personally can't watch those movies. It takes a lot out of you, and the truth can be painful, but that truth needs to be told. And I definitely don't want that to be the only kind of movies black people can make and be seen as prestigious. I want black people doing regular shit to be able to get their movies made too. But the answer to that isn't just not making slavery movies, right? You know, the other thing that you remind me of is, because a lot of people don't like these movies because they typically have a white savior type role in it, but to me, that's kind of the beauty of racial relations in America. Black people can't undo racism.
Mm-mm.
We can't. It's not our job.
No, it's not.
It's impossible for there to be progress without some white people trying to help. It just is right. And very often in these real stories of real people's lives and interactions, there is some white people that have to be like, hold up, these niggas are people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think a lot of people don't like that because it's a trope, and we especially don't like it when it's told through the perspective of that white person, which I actually do agree is terrible. I hate when they do that, and they need to stop those, right? But in general, you can't get free without someone with privilege and access helping you, because it's not your fault. It's not like black people were doing a thing and then one day they woke up and said, we're gonna stop doing this thing, and then everybody's like, you know what, I recognize your humanity as people, you can leave now. Like, nah, somebody white had to be like, listen, this is where the Underground Railroad is, make a left and you can hide under my house. And they had to, or it's not gonna happen.
Sure not.
So I'm okay with, you know, I'm okay with that. I don't like, I'm not militant to the point where I'm trying to be unrealistic. I get it, but I just don't think the story should be told through the perspectives of those people. We've had enough of that.
True.
I like when black people make movies about black history shit. You know, I don't want to see the Black Panthers as told by a white dude who was covering them in the media. Mm-mm. At the time, and who did an interview with Huey P. Newton or something. Like, I don't want to see that, you know. I would like to actually see, you know, some actual black people who've gone to film school, who mm-hmm. or not, whatever, but the people who put in the time and had these visions since they were kids about making these movies, they should be allowed to make these movies.
Yes, they should.
And on Chelsea Peretti's thing, she's engaged to Peel from Key and Peele, so maybe that's why Ralphie May randomly called her a nigger. Wow. Not that it makes a difference. Fuck that dude regardless. P.S. It's more for the nerd off, but that black thing on Supergirl from Hank, so good. It was so good, Imani. The so-called white Martians fucking up so bad, may need a slavery movie to set them right. Supergirl's been so good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Supergirl.
Surprise of the season. Will in Toronto says, man, I died at this episode, so I'm typing this from the afterlife. The overtime portion of this episode was better than the post credits in Marvel movies. Y'all two redid that damn skit to perfection. And I gotta thank Amber, cause these jokes wouldn't have happened if she didn't pop Kanye's booty hole severely. Laugh my fucking ass off. Brianna says, hi guys, first time leaving a comment on the show at about the slavery movie discussion. I don't like slavery movies only because they mess with my mood after I watched them. I haven't seen Django, 12 Years, or Roots because watching imagery of slavery always turns my mood for the worse. But maybe that's just me and the movies that alter my mood, because I still don't watch The Color Purple because I want to come through the screen and strangle Danny Glover. That's everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just keep watching it.
I love that movie.
As for Kanye versus Wiz slash Amber, I think Kanye fans, the last of them, have some kind of deluded way of standing up for everything he does because he makes good music. I'll tell you that. I'll put it this way. There's a lot of Kanye fans that appreciate him for his music but realize he's an asshole and leave it at that.
Yeah.
But there is a contingent that will fucking stand for anything he does.
Right.
They continue to make excuses for why Kanye continuously bashes Amber, and I don't understand. Well, oh, she's a woman. Come on.
All right.
She's been having sex.
She got a vagina.
She's been out here having sex, and right. She's a woman.
And she ain't ashamed of it, and she's a stripper, and she's doing slut walks and shit like that, yeah.
Also, this whole debacle led me to realize that Kanye effectively turned the argument about an album title into which one of us has the biggest slut debate, effectively making the argument about the social statuses of the women they were and are with. Honestly, maybe Kanye has a mental disorder, bipolar, narcissistic personality disorder, because the way he acts is not normal to me. Sorry for the long comment. Enjoy your weekend. No idea, man. I don't know what his mental issues may or may not be, but yeah, he definitely turned it into slut shaming, and that's why I'm not here for all the people that try to point out, like, well, isn't she kind of gay shaming him? Like, wait, maybe she is. She definitely threw an alley-oop to people that are homophobic and let them dunk it for her. But are we just ignoring every fucking thing he said before that? Because that's the part I don't get.
Me either.
I don't care if you want to call her out, but I just don't want to hear the one-sidedness of it. Because if we're being honest and we're being fair, very understandable what she said and why she said it. Not very understandable why he would still be going after her and her family.
6 years later, dog.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, over a misunderstanding at that.
Mm-hmm.
DSAT says, in the overtime segment, Karen suggested that creative people throughout history might have been inspired by fingers in their booty hole, and Rob brought up Mozart as a possible example of this. As the official 18th century classical music correspondent of the show, let me say that you're definitely onto something. Mozart was enormously fond of scatological humor. Some of the letters that he wrote to his wife, to a younger female cousin, and to other family members and their friends are amazing in this regard. Also, he composed a 6-voice canon in B-flat major of the words Lick My Ass, in German Leck mich im Arsch, which was one of his favorite comical expressions. If he were alive today, I'm sure he would be a big fan of your podcast, even though he would be 260 years old. To top it all off, you made those remarks January 27th, which happens to be Mozart's birthday. Wow. Well, lick me in arse. You know what I'm saying, dog? You know, lick me in arse up in this motherfucker, dog. Shit. Eve says, although slave movies aren't my thing, I can understand why people will want more of them. They're part of our history. The raw, the bad, the ugly, they are necessary. The only issues I have with them is that they're triggering me. And when those seem to be the only type of movies with black leads that the Oscars pay attention to, I love to see more diverse genres with people of color in them and get the same recognition. I agree. I mean, I'm not here to defend the Oscars. So you guys I'm fine with that. The poll is, was Amber Rose gay shaming Kanye, yes or no? 31% say yes, she was gay shaming him. Now, I don't agree with y'all, but I understand. I think it's a very nuanced situation, because I do think she threw the alley-oop to the gay shamers. You know what I'm saying? Like, she definitely was like, and do with this what you will. You know what I'm saying?
And walked off the court.
Yeah. No, 69%. Let's see what the comments. Sugar Bay says, interpretation is a hell of a thing. I actually read her tweet and thought she was saying, yay, you keep mentioning me so much, you must clearly miss me. Not that the finger in the booty wasn't a good shot, but I thought she was saying that no matter how far removed from me you are, you always seem to revert to talking about me. Here's the thing I don't get with men. It is not a reflection on him that he dated a stripper? And I'm only saying that because he keeps denigrating her for being a stripper. He wasn't mad years ago when he was parading around with her. He can't keep wanting us to judge Kim for being more than the sex tape if he won't allow Amber to evolve beyond stripping. Not that I think stripping is anything to be ashamed of, but I'm sick of the Amber Rose was a stripper slut shaming shit and Kim made a sex tape shit. Everyone calm down, and Kim, please call Amber and ask her which digit Ye prefers up his butt. Kyle says, I don't see how one could think that Amber is calling Kanye gay unless they think only gay men engage in anal sex. That was what I'm saying. Like, I think it says a lot more about you if you're like, well, she clearly is shaming him for being gay. Cause I'm like, a heterosexual relationship with ass play from woman going to man isn't gay. You know what I mean? Like, I think we can just recognize that clinically is not, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that guy's gay, you know? I think that's a very, you know, but I do think she threw that comment out there knowing that people would take it and run with like that.
Right.
But I don't really have much sympathy because Kanye has always engaged in things that he was getting homophobically slurred for, and he's been okay with it.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And by okay with, I don't mean he's okay with y'all calling him names, but he's been like, I'm not gonna stop wearing kilts, or I'm not gonna stop working in the fashion industry. I'm not gonna stop wearing tight pants. Like, he's like, to me, that was kind of what I liked about Kanye, is that he just didn't give a fuck. It's like, you know, if y'all think that, then y'all think that. What the fuck? You know, I'm making music and I'm trying to be a person that changes the world through fashion and all this shit. And I always thought it was, you know, but I really think a lot of this was from people who didn't have a problem with how Kanye was talking about her.
Right.
And then they wanted to have a problem with her saying something back.
And I think a lot of times when people come out publicly and talk about their sexuality, everybody wants to throw their own sexual experiences in there. Right. I wouldn't let a woman play my booty hole, but that's just you. But right. we're talking about their relationship.
Right. It is clear that Kanye was way into Amber when they were getting together because he talked so much about her. It has been years since they broke up. Also, Rod, you forgot about a beef that happened before B.O.B. versus Neil and Kanye versus Amber. Ta-Nehisi Coates versus Sean King and the Bernie stands. Sean King got weighed in on that? Hey, I really didn't know Sean King said anything, honestly. And I wasn't counting that as beef because, I mean, what could they possibly say back to him? I have to do some reading, man. EVE says, absolutely, Amber was shaming Kanye, but I'm so here for the petty because he had no business bringing her into some mess that he misunderstood in the first place. Kanye needs a nap.
Right.
I do think she was trying, she threw the alley-oop for him to be shamed. Definitely. The fingers in the booty ass bitch was clearly shaming him for being submissive in the way that we view masculinity, sexuality. I just don't think it was gay shaming. I think it was more about him being submissive to her in those situations. But, you know, reasonable people can disagree. All right, man, we got voicemails. Let me play those.
Hi, Rod and Karen. This is Dee. I'm calling in response to your 11/22 episode, Why Women Have It Hard. Y'all pretty much figured it out throughout the whole, like Karen, you said, when they decide to diversify it, they're just going to get mad and say, oh, it doesn't mean as much. The Oscars aren't as much as important as they used to be back when it was normal, back when it was the way it was, when we had intended. And I wanted to say, that's exactly it. The Oscars shouldn't be what they are. We shouldn't look to them for this. Not because of, I'm like, support black people, but like, because they're a racist institution that shouldn't exist. They've gotten their way off of being racist. The things that they're running from for blackness and going opportunity are running toward. And that's just how I feel about it. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dee.
Thank you.
I would only add this. I was the one who said that, not Karen. I want my credit. I want all my props. Okay, call up here, try to give Karen my credit for these great points that I'm making.
I'll take them.
But I was the one who said when they start letting black people vote, that's when they're going to start acting like they don't mean shit no more. Like, oh, the niggers wrote it that one. Well, you know, and you know they about to do that with this watch. If it wins awards, people are gonna be like, well, it's just because the Academy was really feeling ashamed of not having enough black people, so blah blah blah.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, but I think my biggest problem with your statement is that it is a standard. It is quote unquote the gold standard for that industry, and that's the difference. A lot of times people outside the industry don't really realize what that standard mean, and that standard means something within that industry. So yes, I do agree that it's racist and things like that, but things don't change unless you demand progress, just period. And so it's one of those things where yes, you do have these other awards that black people do and other groups of people do. But the thing about those awards do not have the same prestige. You can't say our award has this status on it, but then you don't include everybody within that to be able to reach that status. And that's what the problem comes in to me. Because, you know, I know a lot of people say it don't matter, yada, 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 but it does matter if I'm in this industry, because if you're in the industry and that's the gold standard, you should have a right to obtain that gold standard within that industry, because they've had said that this is the gold standard. And these things make and break careers, because a lot of times when people win these awards, they go on to make other movies, because Jennifer Lawrence, she's in every fucking thing. Why? Because she won that first Oscar. The shit matters, and it matters, and it matters more, because it's not only is it more money for them, they get for them it's more money for their crew and their artists, because a lot of times these performers have other people attached to them that also benefit from them winning also. And then a lot of times I see where certain movies win Oscars, what they do, they re-release the movie, so everybody ends up making that money again. They re-release the DVDs, they re-release the videos. So if that's the gold standard, I should have a right to obtain this gold standard also. And that's the problem that I have, because it's one of those things where people just want to tell people to ignore it. But it's hard to ignore something when in my industry this is me being awarded among my peers.
Yeah, I would just say I do take your sentiment that they shouldn't mean as much as they do, but they do. So right. We gotta live in this world.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right, right.
Like, I agree that they shouldn't, you know, a lot of shit shouldn't be the way it is, but since it is, then it's important that it's torn down and diversified and you know, until it represents more of what we would like to see.
Right. And yeah, it's just one of those things where until it gets to the point where it means less, until people start winning and they don't start getting raises and they don't start getting all these roles, and it doesn't make or break careers, but for as of now it does.
Yeah. So I feel you. That's the way it should be, but it's not. So
right. And I wish it did mean as much. I wish the BET and some of these other awards actually meant more and have more and had more weight, but right now they don't.
Next voicemail.
Hey Rod and Terrence, it's Thomas from Baltimore. I just wanted to comment on the Oscar situation. I really felt like there's a bigger issue with just people not seeing the movies. Like I listen to a lot of different podcasts from a lot of different directors and the film people who do film critics and people who just watch movies and review them. And the one person I can point out, because I do like a lot of his movies, but at the same time, like, you listen to his podcast, Kevin Smith, like he did like a year in review, like most shows do, on movies. And they got to like Beast of No Nation and what happened with Nina Simone. It's like, these were movies like he never saw, like Nina Simone, when he didn't really know of, was a documentary. So how, you know, and then Beast of No Nation, he just hadn't seen yet. And it was like Oscar season, and it was already like probably past the time for him to put in votes for movies. So I just think the process of, you know, who gets nominated and getting the people who are in charge of voting for them to actually physically see the movies. Like, movies get made, and then if they don't ever see the movie, because either A, they don't have an interest in it, or they just don't have to take the time out to go look for it or see it, like, then how can they ever really know how to vote for it? because like Beast of No Nations, that movie was really great, and like Idris Elba was great in it. But the kid was basically the main character in the movie. He should have been nominated for Oscar. He did great in that movie, and like throughout the movie, he had 7 quote unquote Oscar worthy scenes, but he doesn't really get talked about the way, like, I know Karen doesn't like Jennifer Lawrence, but Jennifer Lawrence mm-hmm. does. Like, she was in 2 movies that got nominated, and then she got into a blockbuster franchise, and then every time she's in a movie, all of a sudden that movie has Oscar buzz just because she was quote-unquote Oscar-nominated, and then she's working with quote-unquote Oscar-nominated directors, mm-hmm. so it's kind of a fickle thing. So every time she's in a movie, oh, this must be an Oscar-winning performance, but it's not really that great, mm-hmm. or she didn't really do that great of a job. She was just in it with other people that... and around other people who got nominated, so thus people just assume that, well, she should be up for a nomination. But you never get to see anybody else that gets up for nominations. And there's no way for, like, directors or actors to kind of build themselves up that way if people never see their movies or people don't take interest. And it's not like a format for, like, you have to see all the movies that are up for nomination to put a vote in. Because I think that's part, I think that's a big part of the issue. Whether you change the demographic of who gets to vote isn't really, like, that helps, but you still have people who are voting for the Oscars that there's still no criteria on what movie they need to see or how many movies should they see. Should they have seen everything that was nominated? Like, they don't have to necessarily see everything that's nominated. I think that's a bigger problem. But that was really my only comment I had for this time anyway. Hopefully, after I get my taxes done this week, I can go premium for the year, and I would greatly, greatly love to do that. All right, guys, thank you, and you guys have a great weekend, and enjoy the rest of your week.
All right.
Peace.
I will just say part of it is going to be that people aren't seeing the movies, but that's not the bigger problem. And I think you're probably just using it colloquially because a lot of people make that mistake, but I can be a little bit of a stickler about language when it comes to stuff like that. It's not the bigger problem. People have a job to see these films or to review these films or to vote for these films, nominate these films. They nominate shit they don't see all the time. They nominate shit through buzz, through word of mouth all the time. It's just not the black shit.
Right.
So that's not the problem necessarily. You know, even seeing it or not seeing it, that's not the problem. Movies like Creed had Oscar buzz. You know, this isn't the problem here. Now, the thing is, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make it drink when it comes to people and racism. So even if you did take the voters they have now and said, hey, promote more black films, let's make sure you get your screeners, let's make sure that you're, you know, that it is convenient as possible for you. You know, I got a screener for fucking Straight Outta Compton. I'm not voting for the Academy, you know, but it's kind of amazing because so many of them will be like, I didn't see it or whatever. Well, then that's why you need to go. You see what I'm saying? That's why we need more than you making the decision. We need people that are interested in seeing those movies. Because right now, the opinion of the Academy is that these movies don't exist when they don't see them. So we have to get people in that see them. So it's not the bigger problem. The problem that is being addressed is exactly what that is, which is that other people need to be included in the process because those people will go see those movies. Or if they don't see them, maybe they'll word of mouth vote for some black shit. If they're just going to word of mouth some shit,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of Jennifer Lawrence getting word of mouth for movies that people don't see.
Right.
You know, it could be the other way. You know, nepotism never works out for us. So either way, it's not the bigger problem to me. All right. We got a couple emails and I open up the phone line 704-557-0186. That's 704-557-0186. Leslie writes in, go Carolina. I started cheering for the Carolina Panthers because of Karen. After the Eagles were out, I usually picked the next best team to cheer for the Super Bowl. to hear Karen and some of the pick the shows with Go Panthers and Go Carolina made me want to cheer for them too. I actually sat and watched the whole game last night, which I normally don't do with the Eagles. The boys came out bamming 17 in the first quarter. I'm happy for you, Karen, and I'll be looking for the Panthers shirt to cheer them on the Super Bowl victory. It could be hard since I'm in Sarasota, Florida. Congratulations, Karen. Leslie. Thanks.
Thank you, sweetie. And I know I've said this before and I said it again. People who purchase my Carolina Panther stuff on the wish list, thank you, because I get so many compliments on the stuff that y'all sent me. And honey, I be decking it out. I know some of y'all ain't Panthers fans, but y'all, just know y'all made me happy. I put on my earrings, I put on my bracelet, I put on my scarf, I put on my coat. I be decked out, so I won't tell everybody that. Thank you, because it means a lot to me.
Yep, appreciate that. All right, Wendy write in, they tried to mess with Serena, y'all. Dear Karen and Rod, I'm looking at the New York Times this morning on Tuesday, and I see this as a headline that says, your Tuesday briefing, Hillary Clinton, Planned Parenthood, and Maria Sharapova. And so naturally, I'm pissed because I'm thinking, God damn it, Serena lost. No. I check a little further. Serena beat that child. Sorry. Beat that child again like a drug, like a rug. My next thought is, if Serena won, then why the fuck is Maria Sharapova in the fucking headline? Now I will concede that if someone beat my black ass 18 straight times, it might possibly be newsworthy, but losers don't generally get the headline. My tweet to the New York Times was a bunch of smiley faces going, thinking. And it says, at New York Times, why Sharapova in the headline when Serena won? And then she sent the shot to him. And then they changed it. Your Tuesday briefing, Hillary Clinton, Planned Parenthood, Novak Djokovic. So they didn't put Serena in the headline. They switched it to the man. Rod, can you do a Herman Cain voice? I don't know what that would have to do to be relevant to this story. I don't have the facts to back this up, but I think that the reason why this text in the headline was changed, but all I'm saying is they changed that bitch. I don't know why that would. I don't know what Herman, I don't think Herman Cain would even say bitch. And please note, the only edit I see is a deleted Miss Thing and put Novak's name on there. Mm-hmm. You have been listening to yet another episode of Fucking With Black People. Love you guys. Sincerely, Letty Mae Daniels. Oh, man, that's fucked up, dog. Yeah, that's some whack shit.
Yeah, because you're right. Normally when they do this, they do put the winner. They normally don't do the loser. But that's one thing about them, too. Serena whoops her ass. And when it comes to it, she always get the praise.
Rod and Karen, I saw this the other night and thought you might find it interesting. It's a TV series about the Underground Railroad. Yeah, it's coming on WGN. It's called The Underground. That didn't start yet, has it? Because I'm trying to record
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, I'm trying to record that. Like, I'm on that. She did. But thanks, Susan. Let's see. John J. writes in, Dear Rod and Karen, couple of thoughts on some topics that you guys have discussed recently. Number one, on the topic of Hillary being asked about Bill's questionable behavior, I agree with you. People aren't going to want to talk too much about it for a couple of reasons, in addition to the ones you mentioned. I think a lot of people on the left remember how Republicans went after the Clintons endlessly, trying to ruin them for every possible far-fetched scandal they could dream up. Whitewater, Vince Foster's death, Monica Lewinsky, and now Benghazi and the email issue. Much like with Obama, it never ends. After so many times of having the haters cry wolf, I think many people will just assume that most charges leveled against the Clintons are bullshit, even if they aren't. Plus, I think many of them are just burnt out on the topic. Oh yeah, my thing is I'm not asking for this to stick necessarily, as much as I'm wondering why they keep bringing it up in the context of asking the male candidates how they feel about Bill Clinton, when they should probably be asking his wife,
right? Who has a more intimate relationship with him.
not how you feel about it, but how can you be a feminist? How can you want the women's vote? How can you be a woman who is pro Planned Parenthood and have this motherfucker on your staff and as your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a, I don't have a good answer, and I don't think she does either, but it's a legitimate question. Number two, kudos to you for the positive coverage of Jaden Smith's clothing choices. It's great to see a family letting their kids be himself, free of restrictive gender norms. It was ironic that just a few days after you talked about this, David Bowie passed away. Part of Bowie's fame and legendary status in the LGBT world was for his daring to break gender norms by using androgyny as part of his show. I'm sure there's people who applauded it then when it was Ziggy Stardust who are also bitching and moaning about Jaden and his parents. Oh, yeah, you know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Three, I love how Cosby's attorney said she was just someone who the DA chose to, he was just someone who the DA chose to charge. As if the DA's office was just thumbing randomly through a phone book and threw a dart at a list of names. It just so happened to pick a guy with 50 plus women accusing him and a whole history of predatory behavior towards women.
Right.
Gee, what are the odds? Number four, it's so ironic that Julie Delpy claims black people don't get bashed when they speak out. I mean, hello, does the name Jada Pinkett Smith ring any bells? Yeah, and she was in a movie with Chris Rock, which, you know, I don't know what she was thinking. P.S. A couple weeks ago, Karen mentioned her struggle and the struggle that so many women, and especially black women, face in learning to love themselves because of the fucked up way our society treats them, and that damn near broke my heart. But I'm glad you finally did so, and I'm glad that you speak out on these things as an example for other women, as a reminder for men. Keep up the amazing work. We will hopefully be going premium very soon in time for Game of Thrones. Love you guys. Mwah. John.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, John. And, no doubt, man.
Yeah, and talking about loving myself, I didn't realize this, but next month it'll be a year since I went natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that time went by fast. My hair's grown a lot.
Amber was on the episode. Yeah, you got your hair kind of braided up there.
Look. Hey, I got enough to braid.
And the last one is domestic violence in children. This is from Shay. I'm an investigator of child abuse and neglect and have been one for 9 years. This is how domestic violence situation works in most states when it comes to children being involved. Domestic violence is housed in policy under something called threatened harm. This is because in about 40% of cases of domestic violence, depending on the age of the child, the children will be somehow involved and or hurt during domestic violence incidents when they are present. So usually when there is a DV incident, the police are called, and if the children are present, they make a complaint to Children's Protective Services. Usually, on the first incident, whatever parent is the aggressor is substantiated as a perpetrator of child neglect due to threatened harm. If the child is a biological child, then there is most likely no removal of the child or court intervention. The family is offered services such as counseling for the couple. What was, oh, God, stop this.
I know, right? I don't know why it does that either.
This new Windows.
It's like, you want a reminder when you don't give a fuck?
After the show, I got to Google how to turn those off.
Right.
The exception to this will be, there's no removal. The families offer services such as counseling for the couple, counseling for the child, anger management for the offender, etc. The exception to this will be if one of the parents was killed or if the incident was unfortunately happens and I've dealt with before. In that case, there's no safe parent to leave the child with, and a fit and willing relative or foster placement has to be sought. On the second instance of DV with the same family, both parents will most likely be substantiated as perpetrators because now the non-offending parents is considered to be failing to protect the child by remaining with the aggressive parent. As the complaints continue to be made about DV situations, the cases escalate and ultimately a biological child can be removed from the home. This is a small percentage of children that are removed. And to me, the dumbest reason to have your children taken from you is because you are the non-offending parent. It is just as simple as leaving your partner and therefore under the custody. Leaving your partner, and the state can offer all kinds of services and assistance with this. I've gone as far as getting a mother relocated to another state. In the case of Kyle and his wife, the child was a foster child and therefore under the custody of the state or the country or the county. Sorry.
That's why the child was taken.
Okay. Yeah. There are certain laws that protect foster children from being abused and neglected in care. So whenever there is substantiated abuse and neglect in a foster home, the child must be moved. So the foster home's license status can be reevaluated. It's a sad situation for a child to be removed from their biological parents, then from foster parents with that they have bonded with. Chances are, if Kyle's wife left him, she may have been able to keep her foster daughter or get her back. So yeah, just a quick synopsis of how that works. Okay, all right, we got one call. Let's see. Hey, you're on with the Blackout Tips. What's going on?
Hey, Rob. Hey, Karen. It's Leslie Mack. How are you?
Hey, Leslie. Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. First of all, Karen, your hair looks awesome. So cute. I can't take it.
Thank you.
And secondly, I'm calling to ask. I had a conversation this morning on Twitter with some Bernie stans, one white, one black. And I found this circular logic that they keep going in, like, oh, black people keep asking Bernie about these things that they never ask Hillary Clinton and all this other stuff. And I kept coming back at them like, listen, this is politics. Bernie, as a politician, is expected to be asked questions based on his platform. And that's what's happening. So if he comes out saying he has all these radical platforms and he's a socialist and he's trying to change the game and he's anti-establishment, then he's going to get questions about those things. Hillary's not asking about those things. So what is she getting questioned on? Her history, the things that she's done with privatized prisons, the things she supported with her husband during her husband's presidency, three strikes, all of these things that are part of the things she has done. And that's what she's running on. And so those are the questions she's being asked. I don't understand why it's so hard to get that questions that candidates are asked are directly linked to the platforms that they're putting forth for people to judge. It's like they expect everything to be equal just because, when that's not how questions are formed. And that's not how politics works. I don't know what's up with these people. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just them refusing to take no for an answer. You know, and a lot of it is also, I really feel like it comes from a place of panic with Bernie. Like, as much as they tout this wave and this revolution that he's helming, they actually are on precarious ground because they feel like any wrong move can end it. And they're overcompensating by attacking black people, attacking anyone, women who are bringing up, you know, his stances against, you know, Planned Parenthood and shit. Like, you know, I think they are panicking and that's why they're doing this shit. But it's just overcompensation. You have to stop being insecure about your candidate. Even the people that root for Hillary, at least with my experience so far, and I've said several things about Hillary that I don't like, I've never been harassed over it. There's a certain level of confidence that comes with rooting for Hillary, I guess, where people are like, yeah, well, you know, fuck it, we don't got to get every vote. Like, well, like if you don't like her, then you don't like her, that's fine. But her job's to be elected president, not, you know, not to get every single person to be convinced. And I'm also convinced that most of these people that are doing this harassment online are just old Greenspan, Ron Paul, like,
libertarians.
Yeah, they're just those people, and they're just picking the next white male who promises to burn the system down over anybody else, and that's all they care about.
Right. Yeah, it's just very strange to me. Like, but I know you get it all the time, but I sent you a screenshot of, like, just like a random Facebook message, like, why do black people not like Bernie? I don't even know you. Why are you asking me? And also, there were things that Bernie could have done up till now. He could have said anything about the treatment that his stans have been inflicting upon black people and women prior to Jamila Lemieux asking him it last week. Do I hold him accountable for those folks? No, but I do hold him accountable for the allowing this atmosphere around his campaign that has been allowed to foster for months and months and months. And to me, that's part of being a good politician. And no offense, policies are great, but people don't get elected solely on policy. They get elected because they're good politicians and they're able to perform in this arena. And it just, this entire campaign season and the fallout from his stands just shows me that he's not on that level.
I think it's anyway. It's only reasonable to question the feasibility of this shit. What has really been interesting to me is watching white girls who have been walking around for the last 6 years saying how disappointed in President Obama they are, and how he sold them a bill of goods and he never delivered on his promises, which is factually incorrect anyway. But let's just go with their premise and say that they believe that. So then why is Bernie Sanders so much more believable? You know what I mean? Like, why are his promises somehow easier in your mind to be fulfilled? Because you can make an argument as a black person that if I felt disappointed in Barack Obama, that I'm now more cynical, right? You can make that argument that I'm going, well, there's a higher degree of scrutiny now for Bernie because I'm more cynical after my experience with President Obama. Now, that's not the case. That's not the case for me, but that's the case I could make. If I'm a white person, I don't understand how your argument is, well, I'm more cynical towards these fairy tale candidates that just promise hope and change, but Bernie is the one. He gonna figure it out. I'm like, what's the difference? You know, like, he's an outsider. He doesn't, you know, like, it's just very odd to me. And you know, and obviously I'm skirting around it, but come on, racism is the difference. But I just find it funny.
That's definitely the difference for sure. Yeah. And then I also don't quite understand the other thing, and I was trying to point this out too, is that this is the first election during the BLM era, let's just call it that for lack of a better, you know, way to describe it.
Yeah.
So black people's political, tendencies and our expectations of systems have shifted since the last election. It's very different now. And I feel like there's no accounting for that fact in any of these discussions. Mm-hmm. Like, well, y'all didn't do this before. Yeah, we didn't do a lot of shit before. We wasn't shutting shit down before either, but that's happening. So I fail to see where it's like we evolved. So of course our interactions with these large systems are going to evolve as well. And that's what is happening in this election, I think. And we see that how uncharacteristic a lot of this shit has unfolded in the last couple of months. So
yeah, I think, and we'll see. I think we'll realize as much further down the line, you know, with the Obama presidency. But one of the things I think the Obama presidency did was kind of reignite the activism in the black community, because, and not because I feel like people were like, oh, Barack Obama did it, now I just think people started expecting more from him as a black man, and from the office of president as a black man, whether they got it or not. They started expecting it. And I think a lot of people realize, like, oh, we just got to do it ourselves. Like, you know, because he's one of those people that has always kind of invited this idea of, like, if you want me to do something, you got to make me do it. Like, I'm not going to fight you on doing it, but I have to know the will of the people is to do these things. And I feel like a lot of black people came to a realization under him, which was, even with a black president, motherfuckers are still gonna be out here getting killed, so we have to step up and say something. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he ignited that, and of course how he ignited the pure xenophobic racism on the right. Like, it's gonna be really interesting to look back on this era in time.
Absolutely. I think we see some shifts that we haven't seen in our collective lifetimes, with those of us that are around our ages, you know, 20s 30s 40s, that we haven't seen in this country in a long time. And I think people are pushing back on that. And especially because, like, most political shifts are coming from marginalized people. And so that in and of itself, you know, someone, Rethick Lauren, wrote that white men have a very hard time hearing no. White people have a very hard time feeling no. And they feel like their decisions should be lifted up by everybody else. And this concept that that's not what's going on is really foreign to them. So it's a lot of learning going on the fly.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see what happens.
Wild. What's wild to me is that a lot of people that are white liberals are thinking, well, the scariest thing to me is if Bernie doesn't win, and maybe slightly less worse would be like if Hillary didn't win. But mostly it's like, if Bernie doesn't win, what are we going to do? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what they don't understand is that that fear will never, ever, ever trump the fear that I have as a black person living in this country.
Come on now.
That I could get killed at any moment and it'll be completely justified. So they have to stop fighting us on this because they can't win.
Mm-mm.
You can only join in. You're not going to trump my concerns, for lack of a better word.
Right, about my life.
You're just not going to, because the thing is, I don't think it can be worse than the fear I have. So even if it was fucking, like, because the next president, I don't think is going to be sending out their attorney general when a black person gets killed by the cop.
No.
I don't think they're gonna be looking at police reform and of their own intuition. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to take continued sustained pressure, if not more than before. So yeah, I refuse to just go, well, I trust him, he'll figure it out. No, you're not answering the question right, and you want my vote. What the fuck happens after you're already in office and I have no leverage?
Absolutely.
Wow.
This is when we get to, at least in this process, inject turbulence and hope that we can make some change before we move any further. And it's amazing to see the pushback on it. Anyways, I just wanted to talk with you about that.
No doubt.
And thank you. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
All right, man. Well, that was it for today, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed you. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back tomorrow. So we'll see you Sunday. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.